To the Friday afternoon, February 10th meeting of the Senate Committee on Rules. And we, looks like we have a room full of eager and energetic people that we're going to be hearing from this afternoon. So we're convening for the purpose of taking public comments from each of the governor's appointees to several positions, both boards and commissions and some directors. We've put this list together in order of people who had to travel the farthest so we could get through a pretty voluminous list of appointments today. So the way this will work is that when I call your name, you'll come forward. I'll ask you to tell a little bit about your background and why you're interested in serving on the particular board or commission or position to which the governor has appointed you. Then if the committee members have any questions, they'll ask them, and we'll just keep moving ahead that way. Committee members, we will be taking motions at the end of this hearing. It would really help if everyone can try to hang in here, particularly toward the end, so that we can get everybody voting on the record when we need to act on these. We have one further bit of business before we get started, and that is that one of the appointments is Dr. Carla McKelvey for appointment to the Health Policy Board. I think Dr. McKelvey is probably familiar to committee members because we have confirmed her to other health-related boards pretty recently. She actually appeared before us, I think most recently in November, for the Health Evidence Review Commission. She had some scheduling challenges today, and so we agreed to waive her appearance today so that we could move ahead expeditiously. So in order to formalize that, the chair would move in accordance with Senate Rule 1920 sub 2, waive the appearance of Dr. Carla McKelvey to the Oregon Health Policy Board. Is there any discussion on the motion? Any objection to the motion? Hearing none, the motion carries, and we have waived the public appearance. So without further ado, I will open a public hearing on the appointment of Paul. Oh, I'm sorry. And just before we do that, I think the senators might like to introduce themselves since not everybody knows them, and then I think Senator Atkinson had a few remarks, and we'll start to my right.
I'm Lee Beyer. I represent District 6 in the state, which is Central Lane and Linn counties.
Ted Ferrioli, representing District 30. All are part of 10 counties, about 36,000 square miles, starting in Marion and Clackamas counties and ending at the Idaho-Nevada border.
And Senator Ferrioli is the vice chair of the committee, and I am Senator Diane Rosenbaum. I'm the chair. I represent Senate District 21, which is in southeast and northeast Portland, and also Milwaukee in Clackamas County.
I'm Jason Atkinson. I represent a large portion of southern Oregon.
I'm Jeannie Burdick. I represent the people of Senate District 18, northwest Portland, southwest Portland, Tigard.
And thank you, Senator Atkinson.
Thank you. I just have been very interested in this committee and served on a version of this committee and this committee since 1999. And last fall, I made some comments regarding outreach from the executive branch to this committee, and I want whomever is listening from the executive branch and all of the people associated with the executive branch a debt of gratitude for having this crop of appointees outreach to all of our offices, make much stronger outreach to the entire Senate body, and to get these folks started on the right foot with the regulatory branch of government, the lawmaking branch of government. I think it is keenly important, and I wanted to say thank you because this is how it's done. And so my office has been, and I'm sure all the offices of the senators here, has tried to get her in to meet with everybody, talk about concerns, build relationships, and I just want the executive branch to know that I appreciate it. I'm sure the senators here appreciate it, and let's move forward and keep doing it this manner. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Senator Atkinson, for those well-thought-out thought-out comments. So at this point, I will open a public hearing on the appointments of Paul Goldberg, Alana Guinea, Carol Duncan, and David Anderson to the Workers' Compensation Management Labor Advisory Commission. I think that we have one person that we're about to get on the phone, and that's David Anderson. And if the three of you would like to come forward, that would be great. So opening the public hearing. And David, are you on the phone?
I am.
Great. This is Senator Dianne Rosenbaum, chair of the Senate Rules Committee here in Salem with a crowded room full of wonderful, eager people. And we have been joined in person by Paul Goldberg, Alana Guinea, and Carol Duncan, as well as yourself, who are all the governor's appointees to the Management Labor Advisory Commission. So I'm going to ask the people who are here in person to go first. Tell us a little bit about your background and why you want to serve on MLAC.
Okay. I'm Carol Duncan from General Sheet Metal, Clackamas County, Clackamas, Oregon. I've been in business for 30 years. I've been have had policies with SAFE and Liberty and OSIPs and CSIPs and the now bankrupt Oregon Workers' Compensation Construction Trust. I feel that in that 30 years I've had a lot of experience. I currently chair and serve on the, for 15 years, on the Sheet Metal Workers Local 16 Healthcare Trust. I sit on the Healthcare Trust for the last 15 years. My company is one of only 163 companies in Oregon that is SHARP certified, which is the OSHA's safety program that's in place. And my kids have left home, hopefully for good. And so I feel like I have the opportunity now to participate and give back to the community.
Great. Thanks very much. Please go ahead.
Sure. Chair Rosenbaum and committee members, my name is Paul Goldberg. I'm the Assistant Executive Director of the Oregon Nurses Association. And I'm honored for the opportunity to serve or to be considered for being nominated to this Workers' Compensation Committee. I became an RN both because of my interest and compassion delivery of health care and my service to the community, and this appointment would be in alignment with those values. I came from California to Oregon in 1976, so basically consider myself to be an Oregonian but at this point. I worked for over 15 years at Cottage Grove Hospital as a staff nurse, became an assistant director of nursing at that facility, worked at McKinsey-Willamette Hospital in Springfield in their ICU unit for an additional 6 years, and then started my career as a labor representative for the Oregon Nurses Association 25 years ago. During that period of time, I negotiated numerous contracts, participated in numerous labor management committees, in my capacity, dealt with workers' comp issues on a number of fronts. Dealt with from an employee's perspective the normal impact of legislation on healthcare workers. You're aware that injuries in the acute care settings are much higher than typically thought with musculoskeletal back injuries. And about 7 years ago, I moved up to be the executive director at the Oregon Nurses Association, and in that capacity, we coordinated a initiative about safe lift programs in many of the acute care hospitals throughout the state of Oregon with the goal of reducing workers' comp injuries. We also participated in at the Oregon Nurses Association with safe needle stick programs. I do believe that the healthcare industry is a major industry in the state of Oregon, and we need to have representation having to do with workers' comp issues for those workers.
Thank you for your comments and for your willingness to serve. Alana?
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum, members of the committee. My name is Ilana Guinea. I live in House District 43, Senate District 22. I am a member of IBEW Local 48 and work for the Oregon AFL-CIO. Working for the AFL-CIO, I work with Oregonians from a variety of different industries in all types of workplaces, and all of their workplaces present different challenges, different risks, different areas where safety is a concern. And I hope to be able to bring to the Workers' Compensation Management Labor Advisory Committee that sense of the breadth of workplaces we have in our state. You know, all of our members hope to have a system they can depend on if something should happen to them and they should get injured at work. They hope that that comes in a way that doesn't hurt their employers, because they need strong employers to have a good place to work. And I am excited for the opportunity to be a part of reviewing the policies that make our system as functional and really a novel system compared to what many states have. Thank you for your time.
Great, thank you. And David Anderson, would you like to tell us a little bit about you and why you want to serve on MLAC?
Certainly. Chair Rosenbaum, members of the committee, I am David Anderson. I'm CEO of a construction company in Portland called Anderson Construction Company. We are a family-owned business established in 1950. We work with typically 300 to 400 workers annually. My background is, in public service anyway, is primarily nonprofit board membership. I currently serve on 6 different nonprofit boards. So when I was looking at or approached by a group to talk about the MLAC, I was interested for a couple points. One is that workers' compensation, because we have 300 or 400 people that we have covered by workers' compensation, is critical to the success of our business. And I think, as the more I've gotten into it over the years, and we work in different states. In fact, we have offices in Oregon, Washington, Idaho, and we also work in Alaska and California. You get to see the competitive advantage that the state of Oregon has over workers' compensation compared to these adjacent states that we work in. So I have a firsthand experience what it means when a system like workers' comp does not work. And so I have a vested interest in making sure that the state of Oregon's workers' comp system continues to work. I want the state to be an attractive place where people are interested in coming and locating their businesses here, and I think it's a great selling point for the state. So we have a system that actually works. So if you have workers that need to get covered, this is where you should be. I understand you have a full agenda today, so I'll just end my comments there. Happy to answer any questions, and I apologize that I'm not sitting there in person in front of you.
Well, we certainly appreciate you giving up time from your busy schedule to join us by phone. Thank you all. As most of the members here know, and members of the audience may not, MLAC was created as part of the 1990 special session reforms in workers' compensation. It's constituted with an equal number of management and labor people, and people who sign up for this assignment agree to spend a great deal of time on what can be a sometimes pretty technical area. You become part of a select club of people who know the workers' compensation statutes backwards and forwards, and so I certainly, having served on MLAC myself a few years ago, really appreciate that you're willing to take on this very important duty. So thank you all. Any questions? Okay. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointments of Travis Stovall and Bruce Warner to the TriMet Board. I believe that we are reaching Travis Stovall on the phone at the moment. And is Bruce Warner in the room? And I see he's coming forward.
And
Travis, are you there?
I am. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. And this is Chair Diane Rosenbaum of the Senate Rules Committee. We just have opened a public hearing on the appointment of Bruce Warner and Travis Stovall to the TriMet Board. And Bruce is here in person, so we'll let him go first, and then Travis will ask you to tell us a little bit about your background and why you want to serve on the TriMet Board. So, Mr. Warner?
Excellent.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, again, Bruce Warner, Hillsborough, Oregon. I will be very brief because I know you've got a lot of folks going on today. First, I want to say thank you for what you do for Oregon, and thank you for the time to allow me to come speak with you today. It's not often you get thanked for the work you do, and I just want you to know from this Oregonian, really appreciate the time and energy you put in your positions. Most of you know me, my background. I've had about 35 years in transportation from the local level, City of Hillsborough, Washington County, to the state. The Oregon Department of Transportation is the director for about 5 years. I worked with the region and metro and worked on funding and policy development for transportation projects throughout the state and in the region. I'm here because I have a passion for transit. I think it's a service that we need to provide, and it provides entrees to all other things, and quality of life, economic development, and all sorts of other things that are important for the Portland metro region. So I'm excited. I'm humbled about being here and look forward to being able to help TriMet address some of the problems that they're grappling with right now. And I believe with my background and with my track record of working with both public and private sector folks and solving problems, I think I can do a good job for TriMet and for the state of Oregon. So again, that will conclude my comments unless you have questions of me.
I think we'll hold questions until we've heard from both appointees. And Mr. Stovall, would you like to go ahead?
For sure. I first want to start off in echoing what Bruce said and thanking yourself, Chair Rosenbaum, and the rest of the committee for taking the time to actually listen and take the opportunity to move forward these folks that are being presented to you for the TriMet Board. I will say that I apologize profusely for not being there in person. This was an event that I couldn't change, and I don't want to diminish the excitement and the desire for me to be a part of this organization in that regard. So with that, I will just tell you a little bit about myself and my background. I think primarily, I'll keep my comments short, primarily I think the thing that actually really is a direct correlation to what we're doing here is I've been a part of East Metro Economic Alliance for the last 6 years. It's the four cities in each county. The county's also a part of its support. TriMet is a member. And it's an organization, a public-private partnership that has the opportunity to take a look at economic development advocacy, ensuring that the region has a possibility for growing in a way that's responsible both at every level of society and socioeconomic status. And I believe, and my feeling is that TriMet is a key asset in not only the in the entire region, but the East Metro sub-region. And we need to certainly take the stewardship of this tremendous asset that we have been given, that we've developed. I was just on a flight yesterday where somebody was actually commenting that a number of folks were coming out to the city of Portland to take a look at the MAC system and considering light rail. And that's the type of asset that we have there, both from an economic development standpoint, but also at the very base of our communities, our societies, is a need to ensure that we've got a public transit system that's going to fill the needs from the folks that don't have the ability to own transportation, and then the choice riders that exist that do have the opportunity, but see TriMet and the asset that we have there that's going to fulfill their needs, and from everything from education to the workforce, and then finding valid employment. So that's going to conclude kind of my overview of what my passion and desire is to assist in making sure the TriMet continues to be a great asset and then grows and gains respect throughout the community and there in Salem.
Okay, well, thank you both for introducing yourself and for your willingness to take on this assignment at a particularly important and challenging time. Any questions from committee members? Yes, Senator Atkinson.
Very quickly, Mr. Moore, thank you for coming by the other day. Maybe you both could speak to this very quickly. In East County, where TriMet serves, there has been, in my opinion, some conflict with some local government, some communities concerned about the tracks, concerned about perceived inequities of service between Hillsborough side and the Gresham side. Tell me how, if that's true or not, how will the board change that perception?
I should ask Travis to go first since he's from the east side, and then I'll follow up if that's okay with you. Or would you like me to answer?
Well, I mean, I understand child care, and poor Travis is probably telling that kid, shh, I'm on the phone.
Okay, well, I'll start.
Travis, did you want to comment?
Senator Atkinson, I'll go ahead and answer your question. You know, one of the key things is actually something that I know you recently mentioned, in that what we're doing here is about relationships. And these relationships are what give us the opportunity to put the best perception. And if there's a misperception, give us the opportunity to have an open door to talk about what that perception is and how do we fix that. And I think that we've had some good relationships previously, but I think including the leadership out in East County in the discussion of how TriMet is going to work on some of these things, even though a solution may not be ready today or tomorrow, including in ensuring that the folks in East County have the open door to be able to come talk with either myself, I know Bruce is going to be open for this, to ensure that that dialogue goes both ways and their concerns are allayed in the short and long term. Again, even though we may or may not have solutions right here in this moment, they need to feel comfortable and included in the overall solution so that these things can be handled. Some of the perceptions are not misperceptions, and we've got some studies that have recently confirmed that, and we're going to have to work on that. But again, including the leadership in East County in the potential solutions is what I think is going to give us that ability to have some confidence that things are going to get better.
So, Madam Chair and Senator Atkinson, my response and add-on to that is I think Travis is right on in terms of the issues. Many of them are real and need to be addressed, but it is all about relationships and trust. And I think our job as the board is to further and improve those relationships with the elected folks, with the business folks. And I believe the board can play a big leadership role in having those dialogues with those interest groups in all parts of the regions to make sure they understand, again, where the funding comes from, where it goes to, and having some consensus about where the priorities are for the future. And I think we can do that and do that very successfully.
Thank you. Other questions? And the chair would just add a word of thanks for your willingness to take this on. And also, I had the opportunity to meet with both of you and appreciate that. I think you're absolutely right that this agency is extremely important to the economic health of the metropolitan area. It can be a model, certainly, as it has been for the nation. It certainly is a challenging time for TriMet, partly because of the economy and other matters. And I hope as you move forward in your service, you will bear in mind that the workforce of TriMet is an extremely crucial part of the interface with the public, and their morale is vital to the success of TriMet, and that always bearing that in mind, both administratively and on the board, is going to be very important to a healthy agency. So thank you very much for appearing.
Thank you.
And Travis, we'll let you go on your way. Safe travels. And we will be acting on the appointment at the end of today's hearing.
Thank you very much.
Okay, I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointments of Sasha Buchert, Paige Clarkson, Matthew Kirby, and Silas Holleran Steiner to the Oregon State Hospital Advisory Board. And if the three of you who are here in person would like to come forward, and I believe we have Matthew Kirby joining us. We're getting Matthew Kirby on the phone. So Sasha, Paige, and Silas, if you'd all like to come forward and have a seat. Oh, you're here in person. Oh, well, that's why we're not getting you on the phone then. Okay. Well, great. So have a seat. And then whichever of you would like to go first, please introduce yourself. Tell us just a little about your background and why you would like to serve on the State Hospital Advisory Board.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum, Senators. My name is Paige Clarkson, and I live here in Salem. I'm a Senate District 10 and House District 19. My interest in the Oregon State Hospital Advisory Board is really twofold. It stems primarily from my professional experience as a deputy district attorney here in Marion County. I have been a deputy DA since 1999, and for the last 5 years has served as the trial team leader under District Attorney Walt Bagla of the institution team. Together with the six other lawyers that I supervise, we prosecute all of the cases that arise out of any institution within Marion County. And that, of course, includes those offenses that occur inside the state hospital. I personally prosecute most of those offenses. And so my interest in having a safe community, both for patients, for staff, and then outside of the state hospital walls is obviously important to me. Obviously, there are livability issues that exist for everyone within the state hospital and also outside of the state hospital. And because of my experience as a deputy district attorney, I believe it's very important that that we look at the state hospital with safety-mindedness and that we make sure that it's safe for everyone involved. Personally, is the other reason I'm interested in the Oregon State Hospital Advisory Board is I do live here in Salem. That's actually, I think, the requirement for my appointment. I have lived here since 1996 with my husband, who is a local high school teacher, and we've chosen to raise our three daughters here, one of whom is actually with me today to see some government in action, so I was pleased to bring her with me. So I want to make sure that my community is safe and that we have a safe environment in which to operate the Oregon State Hospital. Those are really the reasons that I sit before you today, and that's the source of my interest on this board, and I look forward to an opportunity to serve in this way. So thank you for allowing me to be here today to present that to you.
Thank you very much. And did you want to tell us your daughter's name, and maybe we can give her a shout-out?
Yes, her name is Quinlan Clarkson, and she's 10.
Hi, Quinlan, and thanks for being here to support your mom.
She was thrilled to get out of fourth grade for an afternoon.
I'll bet. On a Friday afternoon.
That's right.
Great. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
And please go ahead.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and members of the committee, and thank you for the opportunity to address the committee. I'm Sasha Bookert, and I live in Portland, and I'm excited to be a candidate for the Oregon State Advisory Board for the Oregon State Hospital because I think that I can bring an energetic and positive influence to the board. In law school, I served as an externship with the Oregon State Hospital and worked closely with patients in the maximum security ward, and got to know a lot of the issues impacting the hospital, especially at that time, and that was in 2004, and that was with the Oregon Advocacy Center, which is now the Disability Rights Oregon. I feel like some of the qualifications that I bring are, through the advocacy experience, I know a lot about the policies and procedures at the hospital, and with my legal education, I feel like I understand most of the regulations and statutes impacting the hospital, and also an ability to remain objective. I don't get into entrenched positions, and I'm always welcoming new information that might shift my views. Currently, I'm a communications manager with Basic Rights Oregon, and I sit on the legal advisory board, and I've also served in a variety of other volunteer opportunities in Oregon, and I've served honorably in the United States Marine Corps. I deeply believe in public service, and I'm thrilled about the prospect of working with the team to move the Oregon State Hospital forward. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And Matthew?
Good afternoon, Chairman Rosenbaum and members of the committee. My name is Matthew Kirby, and I currently reside in Portland, Oregon. A little about my history. I've been a consumer of mental health services in Oregon since 2009, when a mental health crisis led me to be hospitalized at OSH. Out of vested interest, I became active in consumer representation. And as a resident, I was actually hired to head up consumer representation while there. And part of my duties as the chairperson for the Consumer Council was to attend and make regular presentations to the Hospital Advisory Board, and I held this position for about a year and a half. Actually, I found that consumer representation, the ability to affect change within the institution, was a critical piece of my own personal recovery. And so working with closely with the new leadership of the hospital, we were able to affect many systemic and cultural reforms that the institution so badly needed. And my personal vested interest in serving on this board is born out of my desire to continue my service to the institution and, in turn, the people that it serves. The value that I would bring to this board would not only be my wealth of lived experience and intimate knowledge of the institution itself, but also my enthusiasm and hope that we can indeed turn the hospital into a truly world-class institution.
Thank you very much for your willingness to serve on this board. And Silas, looks like we've got the microphone in front of you. Please go ahead.
And this machine here as well. I can work around it. Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and Senators. My name is Silas Hallernsteiner, and I live just outside of McMinnville, Oregon. I appreciate the opportunity to visit with you today and with my colleagues here. Professionally, I serve as Yamhill County Health and Human Services Director, and in this position, I act as both the Public Health Administrator and the Community Mental Health Program Director. I work to build partnerships and improve systems at the local level that help people live healthier and happier lives in our communities. Personally, I'm called to a life of service to others, especially those who are most vulnerable. This has been partly influenced by my own family's challenges in life, including the loss of an older cousin to suicide after a 10-year struggle with undertreated mental health and addictions issues. If appointed to the hospital advisory board, I will bring my perspective as a social worker, addictions counselor, administrator, and cousin to every decision the advisory board makes. I'm particularly interested in influencing policy that will improve the quality of care for hospital patients, decrease the overall length of stay, and improve their chances of successful community reintegration and recovery. As a candidate for the Oregon State Hospital Advisory Board, I pledge to continue my service to Oregonians who struggle with mental health and addictions challenges and their affected families. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, all of you, for your willingness to take on this very important assignment. Are there any questions for these folks?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Farrioli.
I believe we're still under pretty intense scrutiny at the federal level at the state hospital facility. So the group here is going to be asked to do some very heavy lifting and make sure that the facility operates in a way that comports with the rights of patients for individualized treatment and care and all of the other things which I urge you to look into in terms of perhaps rereading some of the federal reports that have been submitted to Oregon on the questions there at the hospital. So I'm very grateful for your willingness to serve. It's a big job, and it's a very important one. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you for your comments. And I just want to also add my thanks again, because I did have the opportunity in 2008 to serve in a legislative capacity on a special task force that was set up on patient safety at the state hospital. And out of several very intense meetings at that time, one of the recommendations that we agreed to was the creation of a community board for the hospital. So I'm really very mindful that having involvement both from people locally, from people who have been patients, and from people in the mental health community generally is crucial to turning things around at the state hospital. And as the remodeling is coming to a completion and many things have changed and improved, I agree with Senator Farrioli that this continues to be an extremely challenging and important commission to serve on. So I really want to thank you for stepping up and taking this on. Okay, so thank you very much for being here today, and I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Tom Ceruta to the Board of Commissioners of the Port of Portland. And I believe he is coming forward. Good. Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us. And please tell us a little bit about yourself
and your
desire to serve on the Port Commission.
First of all, good afternoon to you, Chair Rosenbaum, and distinguished members of the committee. My name is Tom Suta. For the record, I live in the city of Tigard, Washington County. Hello. And I'm seeking appointment to the Portland Commission. Mm-hmm. By nature, I am not very good at self-promotion, and I don't know what I can do, but I was told to speak a little about what I might be able to bring to this Port Commission. A few things that come to my mind. First of all, I consider myself to be a truly Japanese-American, born in Japan, grew up there through my college years. Then I came over here for additional education, graduate studies, including my law school here in the state of Oregon. And after that, I was fortunate enough to continue my life here in this country. And so because of that, I think I do possess reasonably good knowledge of both the U.S. and the Asian country cultures, and how certain, for example, corporate decisions are made, and some of the idiosyncrasies of some of those things, I think I do understand. That is one reason. Number two, which is equally or perhaps more important, I love state of Oregon. I'm a true Oregonian, and the reason I just can would like to illustrate why I am a true Oregonian. I have been enjoying a reasonably successful and lucrative corporate business career back on the East Coast. I had always been aware that I had left my heart here, and therefore I was always looking for either an excuse or reason to retire from the position and make my trip back to my home here, which happened 2 years ago, 2010. And so I love to, and because of that, I love here. I like to give back as much as I can. And my life has been good. This state of Oregon, Portland, have given me so much, and part of the reasons why I am here, and that's number two reason. I do have about 20 plus years of corporate and the business sector experience running a U.S. company in New York City as its chief executive officer for the latter part of the 20 years, about 10 years, before then the vice president. That company happens to have been owned and controlled by a Japanese retail conglomerate based in Japan. And it does about $72 billion of a year business a year. Because of that, and I had had the luxury of being able to deal with a lot of business people, business minds, and governmental agencies of Japan, China, South Korea. And so I do have a big Rolodex in terms of my network and people that I can rely upon or for any additional info or support. So from that perspective, I thought I can bring some positive perspective in addition to already this very stellar business that the Port of Portland is conducting. So those are my few reasons, and happy to answer any questions you may have. Thank you.
Great. Well, thank you very much for being here, for being willing to serve on the Port of Portland Commission, and for your very good judgment in choosing to relocate in our area. Much as I love New York.
Especially, Madam Chairman, in my district. So.
Yeah. Even
nice
better.
You. Great. Mm-hmm.
Okay, any questions, Senator Farioli?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Tsuruta, do you really still have a Rolodex?
In fact, yes, I do. I am an old school person. Yes, last 20 years I have struggled to be effective with the computer and this and that, but I do have that physically.
Got my vote, Madam Chair.
Great. Well, thank you very much for being here, and we'll be acting on your appointment at the end of our hearing.
Thank you for your
today.
Time. I appreciate it. Good afternoon.
And
bye.
And I'll close the public hearing, and I'll open a public hearing on the appointments of Leah Bates, Judith Brissendine, Olga Cobb, Mark Gerard, and Heidi Seip to the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission. Heidi, are you there on the phone?
Yes, thank you.
Good afternoon, and we'll hear from you after we've heard from the other four folks who are here in person. And I see two of you have come forward. So if you'd like to introduce yourself, tell a little about your background and why you want to serve on the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission.
Thank you so much, Chair Rosenbaum and committee members. I appreciate you being available to us today. And I am Leah Bates from Roseburg. I've been teaching in the small rural school district of Winston-Dillard for, this is my 40th year teaching there. I love teaching and mentoring and serving my colleagues as an instructional coach in that district, and it's an honor to be considered for this particular position. I believe there's still much to do in education in the state of Oregon. I look forward to sharing my experience of those 40 years to help our teachers and our students to focus their sights on the future of their education and their potential. And I thank you again for this time.
Great. Thank you very much for your willingness to serve. And please go ahead.
Good afternoon. My name's Mark Girard. I serve as the chair of the Division of Teacher Education at Western Oregon University in Monmouth, Oregon, and I live in Independence, Oregon. I've been asked to consider service with the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission as the public university representative. So in my capacities at Western Oregon University, I intersect regularly with issues of teacher quality, program approval, and issues of high quality teaching and learning in general. So I'm looking forward to service on the policy and procedural sides that TSPC deals with. So I'm pleased for the opportunity. So thanks for having me.
Great. Thank you very much for being willing to take on this important assignment. And Heidi, on the phone, would you like to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your background?
Sure. Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and Senators. I'm Heidi Seip, and I'm the superintendent of the Umatilla School District. I'm a former teacher and current adjunct professor for Lewis and Clark College, an administrator and school superintendent. I believe my varied experiences have given me numerous opportunities to work with TSPC from nearly every aspect of the education profession, and I've seen an increase in the customer service level of TSPC, and I would like to see that continue. And I also believe Oregon education is at an exciting turning point, and I believe that TSPC plays an essential role in the implementation of quality K-12 ed programs, and I look forward to the opportunity to serve in such a commission.
Great. Thank you very much for joining us. Are there any questions for these three folks? Okay. Thank you very much for joining us, Judith, and also to Leah and to Mark. And we'll just be at ease for just a moment.
We're getting actually overcall on the phone right now.
Great.
Just 1 second. I'm still trying to get Judith.
Hi, is this Olga Cobb?
Yeah, this is Olga Cobb.
Hi, Olga. This is Senator Dianne Rosenbaum, chair of the Senate Rules Committee, sitting here in the state capitol in Salem. And we've just heard from three other of the governor's appointees to the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission. So what we'd like to hear from you very briefly is a little bit about your background and why you'd like to serve on the TSPC.
Thank you very much, Chair Rosenbaum and Senator. I first of all want to tell you I really appreciate you letting me do this by phone. I had another commitment at the school that I couldn't get out of, so I really appreciate the opportunity. Again, my name is Olga Cobb, and I am the principal at Highland Elementary. I have been a principal at elementary level for 5 years, and then before that I was a program coordinator for early childhood. And I was working with Chemangra Community College and Salem Kaiser to provide education opportunities for kids and parents. I am very interested in participating in the commission. I believe in education. I believe that we have to train our teachers really well so they can provide the best services to our children. And I want to hear about innovative ideas happening in our state.
Great. Well, thank you very much for taking time out of your busy schedule and for your willingness to serve. Any questions from committee members? Doesn't look like there are any questions for you, Olga, so we will let you get back to your busy day. And thank you again.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Great.
Okay.
Okay, so we will close the public hearing. When we're able to reach the other nominee, we may reopen it. And I will open a public hearing on the appointment of Patrick Allen as the Director of the Department of Consumer and Business Services. You'd like to come forward and briefly introduce yourself and tell us why you want this big job.
Thank you very much, Senator Rosenbaum. Senators, Patrick Allen, I have served at the Department of Consumer and Business Services for the past 9 years or so, originally heading the state's Office of Regulatory Streamlining, and then for the past 4 years at the Building Codes Division, where we set energy conservation and other construction standards. Prior to that, I worked for about 9 years at the Economic Development Department, mostly managing programs that assist small businesses. And then I spent about the first decade of my career in the banking industry, all with Oregon-based banks. I've spent the bulk of my career dedicated to public service and particularly to a focus on smart regulation. The mission of Consumer and Business Services is to protect consumers and workers while supporting a healthy business climate in the state. And I think attention to both halves of that mission are really critical for us to be successful as an agency and for us to do our part in helping Oregon be a thriving, healthy place for Oregonians and for our kids and families. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Great. Thank you very much. And any questions? Doesn't look like it.
Thanks
you very much, and we'll be acting on your appointment at the end of today's hearing. So I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Colette Peters as the Director of the Department of Corrections.
Madam Chair?
Yes,
I thought this was to be a panel.
A panel?
Panel.
Did you have somebody you'd like to bring forward with you?
No.
Does not look like it.
Obviously, that look was a no.
Sparkly shoes can stay in the bathroom. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair Rosenbaum, Vice Chair Ferrioli, and members of the committee. Thank you for this opportunity to speak with you today. For the record, my name is Colette Peters, and I am honored to be seeking your confirmation as Director of the Oregon Department of Corrections. But first, if you would indulge me, I'd like to talk quickly for a minute about the Oregon Youth Authority. As you are well aware, I have served as the Director of the Oregon Youth Authority for the past 2.5 years. During that time, I have been privileged to work with an impressive team of agency leaders and staff who are sincerely committed to turning around the lives of Oregon's most troubled and difficult youth offenders. While I have been credited by some with leading the many innovations and accomplishments at OYA, please let the record stand that those achievements were possible because of the dedication and talent of the employees of OYA. I will miss my colleagues at the Oregon Youth Authority. And at the same time, I am equally looking forward to working with the talented and impressive team that leads the Oregon Department of Corrections. I am humbled and honored to have been selected by Governor Kitzhaber to become the DOC director, and I thank him for this recognition. If confirmed, it will be a privilege to continue serving Oregonians and the state's public safety system as the director of the Oregon Department of Corrections. The 4,400 professionals who make up DOC are responsible for ensuring the safe incarceration and rehabilitation of 14,000 inmates, and in partnership, of course, with community corrections, more than 30,000 parolees and probationers. With 14 institutions and 2 county correction agencies under our direct care, and 34 county corrections agencies under our indirect care, DOC plays a critical role in maintaining and improving the safety of Oregonians in the communities where they live, where they work, and where they play. Throughout my career in the public safety arena, I have acted on the belief that an effective justice system holds offenders accountable for their actions, invests in rehabilitation to improve the likelihood of success once the offenders leave state custody. I believe in a system that provides reentry supports to reduce barriers to leading a crime-free life and prevents future victimization. Especially in these times of scarce resources, I believe it's ever more important to focus on research-based programs and services that ensure taxpayers' dollars are spent wisely and effectively. I am committed to making sure that the investments in Oregon's correction system will ensure a safe environment for our staff and, of course, achieve the greatest possible impact on our inmates and our communities.
Just as with my recent approach at OYA, I intend to lead the DOC with the spirit of a public servant, dedicating myself to positively influencing the lives of staff members, victims, inmates, inmate families, and the many community partners who tirelessly contribute to improving Oregon's public safety system. Every interaction we have has the possibility of changing someone's future for the better. That's a statement I made when I came before the legislature for confirmation as OIA's director, and it's something I still believe in today. So I know that you have my background as it was provided to you by the governor's office, but if I can answer any questions for you at this time, I'd be happy to do so. Thank you.
Thank you very much for being here, and I guess I should have said when I used the words big job for the previous nominee that you are stepping up to a really big job, so I'm very grateful that you're willing to take this on, and right. Certainly it's, you allude to many of these things in your written statement, that it's a challenging time at any time, but particularly given the budget constraints that we're facing right now.
Thank you, Madam.
So any questions for Ms. Peters? Okay, I guess not. Well, thank you very much. We'll be acting on your appointment at the end of our hearing today.
Great. Thank you.
Great. And I'll close the public hearing and reopen the public hearing on the governor's appointment to the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission. Hi, is this Judith? Judith Brissendine?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Judith, I think we just might have lost her. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you.
Ah, great. This is Senator Dianne Rosenbaum, chair of the Senate Committee on Rules in the state capitol in Salem. And we already heard from several other of the governor's appointees to the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission. So what we need is just very briefly for you to tell us who you are, a little bit about why you want to serve on the TSPC. Mm.
My name is Judy Brisendine. I've been a teacher for, this is my 29th year, and I would love the opportunity to be a part of the TSC. I think it's a nice, exciting way for me to give back to my profession. I have a lot of different perspectives as a teacher, as a mom. I'm also a, I've been a supervising teacher for student teachers and practicum students through the years. And my daughter is now a teacher. So a lot of different points of view to kind of bring to the commission.
And Judy, where are you from?
I'm from Pendleton, Oregon.
Great. Okay. Any questions for Judy? Doesn't look like it. Okay, well, thank you very much for joining us by phone. We'll be acting on your nomination at the end of our hearing today. Have a good day.
Thank you very much.
Sure, have a good day.
Appreciate your time.
You too.
Great.
And I'll close the public hearing, and I'll open a public hearing on the appointments of Nils Christofferson, Tom Insko, and Cindy Williams to the State Board of Forestry. If you would, the three of you, like to come forward. And whichever one of you would like to go first, please tell us a little bit about your background and why you'd like to serve on the Board of Forestry.
I'd be happy to go first. Thank you. Thank you very much, Chair Rosenbaum and fellow senators. My name is Nils Christofferson. I'm the executive director of Wallowa Resources, a community-based nonprofit that's been working in Wallowa County since 1996. I've been there since 1999. I came there with my wife and two children. We've been working with the county commissioners, private forest contractors, what remains of the forest products in industry, the environmental groups, other resource users over those 13 years to try to recreate a vision an action that restores the health of our forest lands and creates real and meaningful job opportunities and businesses in Northeast Oregon. And it's a vitally important job to the counties of Eastern Oregon, as it is the rest of Oregon. I'd like to bring that experience, my knowledge of forestry, my experience cutting or work bringing together stakeholders to work together for a better, stronger future for forest management, forest stewardship in Oregon, that really delivers the broad range of benefits that our forests can provide and create some meaningful opportunities for Eastern Oregon. So it would be a great honor if my appointment could be confirmed. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much for your willingness to serve. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Chair Rosenbaum and members of the committee. Thank you for your time today, and thanks for the opportunity to personally introduce myself to you. Today, I also want to thank Governor Kitzhaber for nominating me to this position. My name is Tom Insko. I'm a resident of La Grande, Oregon. I also happen to be born and raised in Northeast Oregon, a long history in that area. Was fortunate enough to attend Eastern Oregon University, get degrees in mathematics and business economics, and also am honored to serve on the Eastern Oregon University Foundation as Vice President, Board of Directors. spent a little time out of the state getting my MBA at the College of William & Mary in Williamsburg, Virginia, but returned to begin a career with Boise Cascade approximately 16 years ago. And since that time, I've had numerous positions with Boise Cascade that's taken me around, primarily Pacific Northwest, and I'm fortunate to be back in Northeast Oregon now for another 7 years as the Inland Region Manager. The Inland Region has 8 manufacturing operations, approximately 900 employees. In the state of Oregon, I have approximately 600 employees that are in Umatilla and Union counties. Boise Cascade obviously also has operations down in southwestern Oregon that are vital to our company as well. During my time, both growing up in Northeast Oregon as well as working in the wood products industry, I've had a lot of opportunity to get a broad understanding of the importance of forest products industry as well as forest policy. I've really seen the breadth of how forest policy impacts communities and really intertwines with the social fabric of the state of Oregon. And so having this opportunity to serve on the board is really an honor to play a role in where things go in the future, because I think we have a great future in this state, and how we manage and take care of our forests are an integral part to that. So thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you for your willingness to serve. And please go ahead.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and members of the committee for inviting me here today. I'm definitely very interested in serving on the State Board of Forestry. I am a fisheries biologist. I got my degree at Oregon State University in undergrad, and then got my master's degree down in California. Please forgive me for that. I have been working as a natural resource policy analyst and field biologist for over 30 years. And during that 30 years, I've led a fairly peripatetic career path. I have managed to work for government agencies, both in the legislative and administrative branches. I have worked in the nonprofit world. And I've also been a private practitioner, private consultant, where I've had clients basically on all sides of almost every issue you can imagine. As a result of that, I feel like I have developed the ability, frankly, to hear everyone's concerns and understand, at least in large part, what it is they're trying to say. Language is an interesting thing, and sometimes we react rather than hear what's actually being meant under the surface of the words. So as a consequence of that, I think I've got the ability to work with a lot of people from a lot of different backgrounds, and I've got the scientific background to understand and convey what the latest literature is saying on a scientific perspective relative to management. Also very proud of the fact that after many years of trying, my husband and I have recently become small woodland owners of our own. We managed to acquire 164 acres in the Upper Klamath Basin and look forward to figuring out how in the world we're going to deal with some of the very real resource problems on that land. It will need some active management. I do understand that there is a little bit of controversy and concern potentially about my connection with a report that came out in D.C. last week, I believe it was. I would like to sort of set the record straight that I am not an employee of Geos Institute and have not been for 3 years. Had, you know, no knowledge of the report prior to its release and was probably as surprised as everyone else when it was released. I do have some contract relationships with Geos. I am working on a contract with them on a partnership project with the Jackson County Soil and Water Conservation District and Rogue Valley Council of Governments to look at developing renewable energy options in Jackson and Josephine County. That's a brand new project. We have just barely managed to get the working groups from the community organized and have not yet developed it. But I'm looking forward to options and opportunities to make a difference on the energy needs in those counties. If you've got any questions, I'd certainly be delighted to answer them. I look forward to the opportunity to work with the other members here that are prospective and those that are already serving on the board. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all three for giving up time from your clearly busy professional lives to serve on this very important board. Any questions? Yes, Senator Beyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just curiosity question, Cindy. You mentioned that you and your husband just acquired a small woodlot, 160 acres?
64.
64. Are you intending to manage that for timber production?
You know, we just acquired it, and so there's we're not exactly positive actually how we're going to manage it, but we do know that there are some overstocking issues on part of the landscape, so even just as a, you know, not managing for timber production, just as a responsible landowner, there's some work that has to be done on the land.
Given the concerns you recognize there, what is your philosophy about timber production?
It's one of many uses that we can get from a healthy forest, and it's certainly a legitimate purpose of forest lands. You bet.
Thank you, Senator Beyer. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you all for appearing today in person, and we will be acting on this at the end of our hearing today.
Thank you.
I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Sherman Lamb to the Land Conservation and Development Commission. And as he's coming forward, I neglected to do this before, but I usually try to tell the next couple of folks that they're going to be up next. And next will be for the Commission for Women, Judge Jean Birch, and then after that, Raymond Mio for the trustees of the State Library. Well, good afternoon. Thank you for waiting so patiently, and we are eagerly awaiting hearing a little bit about your background and why you'd like to serve on LCDC.
Okay, thank you. Good afternoon, Madam Chair and Senators. My name is Sherman Lamb. I live in Talent, Oregon, and I'm here today, as you know, because Governor Kitzhaber has nominated me to serve on the Land Conservation Development Commission. And I'm going to give you a few words about myself. It's going to be a very few words because I know you're busy and you've got quite a schedule today. For the last 22 years, I've earned my living in the Southern Oregon wine industry. I have worn a variety of hats during those years. I developed and farmed my own vineyard in Talent. I co-founded and co-ran a vineyard management company. I have worked as a winemaker. Most recently, I have been a consultant to Southern Oregon Vineyards. I am on the Talent City Council, and I am the council president. I'm also on the board of directors of the Talent Urban Renewal Agency. I am a city council liaison to the Talent Planning Commission, and I am on the board of directors of the Talent Chamber of Commerce.
In the past, I have served on the Talent Planning Commission, and I have chaired the Planning Commission. So I have a strong record of community service. My interest in land use laws goes back to my days as a wine grape farmer. In southern Oregon, and indeed in all of Oregon, I see the wine industry as a vital and growing component of the economy. I would like to see the importance of this component continue and increase. I also support other aspects of Oregon agriculture and have been encouraged to see the growth of creative new means of making agriculture a prosperous element of our economy. It is my hope that Land Conservation and Development Commission can continue to support an environment that will allow the agriculture sector of our economy to prosper and develop. Due to time constraints, I will not address the other important work that LCD is engaged in. Suffice it to say that I am looking forward to the intellectual challenge of being a commissioner, and I'm excited about the opportunity to serve my community and the state of Oregon. Thank you for considering my nomination.
Well, thank you for your willingness to serve and for traveling some distance to get here to be with us in person today. Are there any questions? Okay. Well, thank you again. We'll be acting on your appointment at the end of our hearing today. And I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Judge Jean Birch to the Commission for Women. If you'd like to come forward and join us. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and members of the committee. It is with a great pleasure.
I think you might need to move the mic not really close, but just point it toward you.
Oh, great. Okay.
It's very sensitive.
All
so.
Right.
Great.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and members of the committee. My name is Jean Birch. I have had the honor of serving as the Wheeler County Judge for the past 18 years. I have been in public service in Wheeler County for 26 years. Before that, my husband worked for an oil company, and so we lived all over the world. People ask me, why do you live in Fossil, Oregon? And we do choose to live there. When I was asked about this commission, I realized immediately that this is something that I can do, and I have a lot that I believe that I can bring to the committee on behalf of my rural constituents, particularly women and girls. Part of my duties as a Wheeler County judge, besides doing everything from being plumber to dog catcher to anything else that you need to do, is that I am a juvenile judge, and the issues that I see that confront the people that come through my court, especially the women and the girls, I feel like I've got a lot I can bring to this committee. And then in a positive way, I have been very, very active in the region with rural health and the betterment of the people that live there. So those are the things that I believe that I can bring to this committee. And I'm, again, thankful for the opportunity and would entertain any questions.
Great. Well, thank you for being here and traveling a ways to get here and for being willing to serve on the Commission for Women. Mm-hmm. And Senator Farrioli, looks like he has a question.
Yes, Madam Chair, not so much a question, just a clarification. Judge Birch is the chair of the County Commission. And when we talk about the judgeship in several eastern Oregon counties, that relates to a term of honor that was conveyed after the Civil War, that was a model of municipal organization that came with some of Oregon's history. She's also a judicial judge and doing the juvenile stuff and some probate.
Yes.
So I've only worked with Judge Birch for about 16 years and think she'd make a wonderful addition to the commission.
Great. Well, that's high praise. Thank you, Senator Farrioli. Any other questions? Okay. Well, thanks again. I had the opportunity to serve on the Commission for Women myself some years ago, and I think you're going to find it a very enjoyable and meaningful place to serve in addition to the great work that you're already doing.
All right. Thank you very much, and thank you, Senator.
Thanks for being here. And I will let the next couple of boards know that they will be up next. After the one we have to come will be the mechanical board, and then after that, the board on public safety standards and training. But now I will open a public hearing on the appointment of Raymond Mio to the trustees of the State Library. I'd like to join us at the witness table, and good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thanks for waiting so patiently, and welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum, Vice Chair Ferrioli, Senators. My name is Ray Meow, just like the cat. I'm from Bend, Oregon. My wife and I moved there 20 years ago. I tell you, we intended to live there for a year so our daughter can register at UO as an in-state, and we forgot to leave. It was so nice. I've served on the Board of Directors of the Deschutes Public Library District since its formation in 1999. Well, I like to tell, I'm a strong believer that libraries build communities. I like to tell people that, remind them that the library is probably the only government organization that people choose to go to. And not only that, they take their kids. So it's a great honor for me to be nominated for the State Library Board, and I'd be happy to answer any questions if you have it.
Great. Well, thank you very much for your willingness to serve and for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thanks again. And I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointments of Linda Kennedy and Gerald Scheuerman to the Mechanical Board. And if the two of you would like to come forward. Good afternoon. Thanks for waiting patiently. Hopefully it was interesting to meet all these great folks, and we would love to hear a little bit about your background and why you'd like to serve on the Mechanical Board.
Thank you. Hello, Senator Rosenbaum, Chair, and committee members. Thank you very much for having me here today. My name is Linda Kennedy. I reside in western Douglas County in the small community of Reedsport, and I work in Coos County. I am here today representing the utility for whom I work, which is Northwest Natural, and I'm also representing the building and trade allies that I work with in Coos County. As you probably know, it has been only recently that we've had a gas pipeline that serves Coos County, and it's been my job to actually grow a gas district. And with that, I have worked very closely with the mechanical contractors to serve our customers. Prior to that, I worked as a mechanical contractor. I was a heating estimator for a large plumbing and heating shop and worked quite closely with the mechanical the mechanical code. And prior to that, I worked for Pacific Power, and I also ran weatherization and heating, the heating programs of the power company. So I've had about 28 years experience in this industry. I think it's very important for us to continue to adopt code that matches changing technology, but I also and very strongly feel that code adoption is important, but also implementation and education of our code inspectors and also the mechanical contractors is so important so they can provide a safe environment for the consumers. I also do spend time with the mechanical contractors working on specific projects in Coos Bay, and they can be anything from a heating system for a customer to a dry kiln to just about anything that uses gas at this point that a customer might need. So I appreciate being here. I think I can bring my expertise to this committee, and I thank you for your consideration.
Great. Well, thank you very much for joining us and traveling so far to get here. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Chair Rosenbaum and Senator members of the committee. I am Gerald Scheuerman from the thriving community of Boring, Oregon. I sit beside in front of you for the mechanical board. I'm in my 32nd year in the mechanical and pipe trades as far as working. I spent 14 years working as an apprentice and master craftsman, and then I spent 14 years working at the City of Portland in the mechanical and plumbing inspections world, and for the past 3.5 years I've been training coordinator at Plumbers and Steam Fitters Local 290. I've also been very involved in disaster relief efforts all over this country and the world, particularly Hurricane Katrina and the devastating earthquake in Haiti 2 years ago. And those experiences really hammered home to me one of the fundamental reasons that codes are so essential in the mechanical worlds. I saw firsthand the difference that the quality of life and just life expectancy made in those areas, in an area that had strong codes and one that didn't. I think my perspective of having worked in both the construction industry as well as the enforcement and code worlds brings a unique perspective on understanding the issues that face a mechanical board, in particular adoptions of codes and implementation of codes as well as training and education. So I thank you for your ears to listen to my speech.
Great. Well, thank you both for being here today and for being willing to take on this assignment. Any questions? Okay. Thank you again. I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointments of Larry Blanton and Diane Simpson to the Board on Public Safety Standards and Training. Welcome, and thanks for waiting so patiently. And tell us a little bit about your background and why you'd like to serve.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and Senators, for the opportunity to address you. My name is Diana Simpson, and I am the Sheriff for Benton County. A little background is I have a bachelor's degree in criminal justice administration and have worked in the criminal justice field since graduating from college. I've worked in Oregon and Benton County for 30 years in the criminal justice field, first as a parole and probation officer and later as a deputy sheriff. I have dual certification in both disciplines. I was elected Benton County Sheriff in 2006, and I'm currently in my second term. And I was appointed to the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training Corrections Policy Committee in January 2010, and I found it to be very relevant and helpful in my overall operations at the Benton County Sheriff's Office. I believe with the experience from that committee, as well as my professional experience, I can serve the board on police standards and training very effectively. I have the interest and the desire and the commitment to ensure DPSST meets the needs of the public safety community while also ensuring that high standards for ethics and integrity are maintained. I want to serve the board to provide support not only to the academy, but also all public safety in Oregon. And I appreciate the opportunity to testify before you today and appreciate the time you've given us. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Thanks very much, Chair Senator Rosenbaum, Vice Chair Barioli, and Senator Burdick. It's an honor and privilege to be here today to tell you a little bit about myself. My name is Larry Blanton. I'm the sheriff in Deschutes County. County seat is Bend, Oregon. I actually graduated from the Police Academy in 1980, a few short years ago, when it was at Western State College, which was OCE at the time. I hold an executive certificate from DPSST. I'm a National FBI Academy graduate, Quantico, Virginia, a graduate National Sheriff's Academy, Longmont, Colorado. I'm also a graduate of Mark Hatfield School of Government, Portland State University, and it's an honor and privilege to be considered for this important position. I believe that my experience and training qualifies me to serve on that board and such great people that I'd be willing to serve with there, and the importance of holding those academy classes for our new people that are getting the ultimate means of authority and wearing a badge in our community is something that I definitely want to be involved in. I appreciate very much your consideration.
Thank you both for being here and for your willingness to serve. And do we have any questions?
I have a conflict of interest too in answering the chair.
Please do so.
Not only is my son a deputy sheriff, but he more particularly is a deputy in Benton County.
I won't let it be a conflict.
Great. Well, thank you both for
being
you.
Here. Thank you.
And I will close the public hearing. And just so folks will know what's coming up next, we're joining Patrick Garrett to the Alcohol and Drug Policy Commission. After that will be the Appraiser Certification and Licensure Board. And after that will be the Commission on Asian and Pacific Islander Affairs. So you can be getting ready. So I will open a public hearing on the appointment of Patrick Garrett to the Alcohol and Drug Policy Commission. And welcome. And please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum, Senators. I'm Washington County Sheriff Pat Garrett. I'm from Hillsborough, Senate District 15. Appreciate the opportunity to tell you a little bit about myself, why I'm interested in this commission. I'm the sheriff of a county of over 500,000 residents. I have been in public safety for 24 years with the Washington County Sheriff's Office in both the law enforcement and jail operations field. I have a master's degree from Portland State University in public administration. I recently spoke with outgoing commission member Sheriff Dodson about some of the issues facing the commission, to include the efficacy and funding of drug treatment services, particularly in community corrections, proposed OAR language that sets limitations in certain alcohol impact areas, and the relationship to local control and supporting local authorities and businesses that, who may be dealing with street drinking, public intoxication, and those kinds of issues. The issue of privatizing alcohol sales in the shadows of a successful Washington State initiative recently. And then finally, drug court funding. I believe these and other challenges are very important to address for us to best support and foster communities that are supportive of education, health, business, and public safety. And I'm here today representing an organization that takes those challenges seriously, balancing a strong mix of enforcement and education. Some highlights. During each of the past 7 years, our deputies arrested over 1,000 intoxicated drivers every year. While we hold people accountable, more importantly, I think we're actually saving lives by preventing alcohol-related serious traffic crashes. Last spring, we promoted alcohol-free high school prom events through our partnership with Prom Perfect to reduce the chance that we could have negative prom events tied to underage drinking. We conducted drug and alcohol presentations to the entire student body of four different high schools last year. We have a very effective multi-agency drug task force that has investigators from five local agencies and two of our federal partners. With our public safety partners, we conducted elaborate live action melodramas at five area high schools that tells the story of deaths caused by intoxicated driving, known as SKID, or Stop Kids Intoxicated Driving. Finally, we conducted two prescription drug turn-ins and established a drug turn-in drop box at our office, which is emptied monthly of some 30 pounds of unwanted prescription medications, thereby ensuring they don't wind up at high school pharmacy parties, or as they're known in the slang, farm parties. Thank you for your consideration on what I'm sure is another very busy day for you.
Thank you very much for being here. I know you're equally busy, so we appreciate your willingness to serve. Any questions?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Burdick.
Just a comment. I just think this is such a great trend that we're seeing here, where law enforcement and the treatment community and everybody is getting together in a cohesive way on this problem, rather than dividing into silos where the treatment's over here, the enforcement's over here. And I know I've talked to you extensively, Sheriff Garrett, and I just think you'll be a particularly strong member of this board.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you for your comments. And I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointments of Dory Davis, Steve Turgeson, and then also will be joining us by phone James Bomberger to the Appraiser Certification and Licensure Board. So thanks for waiting so patiently, and please introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about your background briefly and why you'd like to serve.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and Senators. My name is Dory Davis, and I reside in Molina, Oregon. I'm a lifelong resident of Oregon, and I've worked in the appraisal profession for about 10 years, originally as an appraiser, and more recently as the owner of a small appraisal management company. I have applied for the newly created appraisal management company seat on the appraiser certification and licensure board so that I can assist in the development of new appraisal management company regulatory program. I'm excited about the opportunity to serve my fellow citizens in this capacity and to give back to a profession that I love. Thank you.
Great. Thanks very much for your willingness to serve. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you. And Chair Rosenbaum and senators, appreciate the time and the possibility of being appointed to this board. I am Steve Turgeson. I'm with Citizens Bank. We're headquartered in Corvallis, Oregon. I've been in banking for 30 years. I'm on a couple committees with the Oregon Bankers Association and on the board of the independent community banks. I guess what I can give to this board is my background in banking and my network of the community banks of Oregon. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. And on the phone, James Bomberger, are you with us?
Yes.
Great.
Yes. Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and honored senators. My name is Jim Bomberger, and I'm from Beaverton. I appreciate very much the opportunity to address you today. I have a little trouble hearing, but you want a sort of a brief introduction to my background, is that correct?
Sure. That's right. We'd just like to hear very briefly about your background and why you'd like to serve on the Appraiser Certification and Licensure Board.
All right. Thank you. Well, I'm a second-generation appraiser. I've been appraising for over two decades, and I've been very fortunate in my career, and it's important to me to give back. So volunteer service is something that I've done all of my adult life with Keep America Beautiful, and then the last few years with the American Loan Association. So I think my experience as an appraiser and instructor, and also I've been a region and division appraisal manager for five different mortgage lenders, including some of the largest banks in the country. It gives me a very broad base of knowledge and experience, and I think I can offer a perspective to the board as they address some of the important issues of the day. So, again, thank you for the opportunity to address you.
Great. Thank you for joining us. Are there any questions for these three good folks? I don't see any, so thank you again for being here, and we'll act on these appointments at the end of our hearing today. I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Ping Hua Sutherland to the Commission for Asian and Pacific Islander Affairs. If you'd like to come forward, and after that we'll be hearing from Paul Hudgens, and after that Carol Morris. So welcome to the Senate Rules Committee. Thanks for waiting so patiently, and please tell us briefly about your background and why you'd like to serve.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and the fellow senators. My name is Ping Hua Sutherland. I moved here from Malaysia in 1990, and I live in Portland. For the last almost 20 years, I worked in community services and outreach, and 2 years I worked for the Census Bureau. I travel quite a bit to different counties and meeting the Asian populations. And one of the things that I noticed is that the Asians are wonderful people. They have great food, wonderful hospitality. But the problem is that we all are very kind of pretty much stick to our own group. We don't communicate with others that much. And a lot of time, we do not express our concern really well. And I feel like just because we are the minority doesn't mean that we have to be the minority of the minority. Mm. And I think it's time that we all actually open a dialogue and start communicating with each other. I think the best time to do that is before we have a crisis. And it's a good time for us to start talking and unite and find a common cause and common goal that we can work on. So when we need everybody, we have a big and stronger voice. I'm currently president of the Asian Pacific American Chamber of Commerce, and also I'm involved in the international trade business. So thank you for giving me this opportunity.
Thank you for being willing to serve on this important commission. Any questions? Okay, thank you again.
Thank you.
I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Paul Hudgens to the State Aviation Board. Good afternoon. Thanks for waiting so patiently. And
thank you.
We are eagerly awaiting hearing a little bit about you.
Thank you, Senator Rosenbaum, Chair, and committee members. My name is Paul Hudgens, for the record, and I think this is a natural progression. So this is it's an honor to be appointed, nominated, or I'm not sure the exact term, but my background comes from military. I was a Navy pilot for about 8 years, and then while I was on active duty, I got into school at night, went to school, got my MBA, and I found that this opportunity to be appointed to work on the State Board of Aviation is the culmination of that. because after active duty, or actually while on active duty, I did help out with a friend that I met in business school, and we started a little consulting on the side of businesses. And I've tiered into aviation for businesses, and a lot of what I can divulge is that, you know, some of those businesses have become prosperous, and one was prison transport. So I saw that I liked aviation and business, and how can I do better than to serve my country and my state in that capacity? So it's an honor to be here, and thanks again for the privilege.
Great. Well, thank you very much for being willing to serve on the aviation board. And any questions for Mr. Hudgens? Yes, Senator Atkinson.
I can't let like a Con Air statement go with that. Where did you get your MBA?
Webster University. Well, I was in Memphis at the time.
Do you fly Memphis right now?
When I can.
What do you fly?
The last I flew was a little Embraer 145.
Well, how many hours you got?
2,300.
That's a real pilot.
And those are 2,300 mostly hard hours trying to land on a little ship in the middle of the ocean.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Actually, helicopters is my other half of my flying. So
you're dual.
Yes, sir.
Well, we need to have coffee. I think you're going to be great. I'm a struggling pilot. I've been flying my whole life. I had no problem taking off and flying. It's just I need to work on landings. But I'm very interested. We've done a lot over the years in Oregon about Oregon aviation and rural airports. We've had a lot of ebb and flow with FBO businesses in Oregon. We've had a big connection between this branch of government and enterprise zones, oddly enough. This is actually a very important thing. And in Oregon, we have a real struggle with general aviation. I'm working right now to create a flying club, which has its whole FAA regulation thing to help people who are not as gifted as you in 2,300 hours in the Navy pick up flight time in Briggs & Stratton airplanes with little teeny motors, also known as Cessna 150s. But thank you very much. I'm delighted to have you, and it's fun to heckle you for saying Con Air.
It was Core Air, actually. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Paul. Thanks for being here. And I will close the public hearing. Next, we're going to be hearing from Carol Morrison. After that, Catherine Logan, and after she comes forward, then we'll be hearing from Edward Armstrong and Morgan Ryder, so please be ready. So I will open a public hearing on the appointment of Carol Morse to the Trust for the Cultural Development Board. Welcome. Thanks for being so patient, and we're looking forward to hearing about you and why you'd like to serve on the Cultural Development Board.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and members of the committee. I'm Carol Morse. I reside in Northwest Portland. Used to be in Senator Burdick's district, but no longer with all the changes. I work for Portland General Electric, where I run the PGE Foundation and the community investment programs for PGE. I'm really lucky because my work and my personal passions just intersect beautifully. I want you to bear with me for a minute. My grandchildren and and their parents are watching this live in Louisville, Kentucky.
Oh, wow.
Hi, Sophia. Hi, Giancarlo. Hi, Jeffrey. Hi, Celeste. Grandmom's here. I hope they hung out long enough to get this.
That's a first. I hope it's not last.
As a large employer, PGE recognizes the value of arts, culture, and the humanities as an economic driver in our cities and in our rural areas. This past fall, PGE was honored as the number one corporate funder of the arts over the past 10 years. We're the number one Work for Art employee giving campaign in the region. Our company was an inaugural supporter of the Oregon Cultural Trust and helped get it passed, and we continue to support it each year. I personally have supported the trust since its inception. In my volunteer activities over the years, my focus has been on arts and on education, and I'm especially interested in the intersection of the two of them. I've been chair of the Regional Arts and Culture Council Board. I've been chair of Business for Culture and the Arts. I currently serve on the board of the Creative Advocacy Network, and I'm honorary chair of the Work for Art campaign in our region. I've also, on the education side, I've been chair of E3, Employers for Education Excellence, and I now serve on the All Hands Raised Board, the former Portland Schools Foundation Board, and I'm very active in the whole Cradle to Career initiative. In arts and education, PGE was the first corporate funder of the Right Brain Initiative, which is returning arts education into the public schools in our region. And I've been invited to the Kennedy Center in D.C. next week, where they are convening a meeting of innovative arts education programs from around the country to learn best practices. So like the last appointee said, it's a natural progression. I really feel that appointment to this Oregon Cultural Trust Board just follows this path I've been on in terms of arts and education, and I'm really excited about the thoughts of bringing my years of expertise in arts policy, arts advocacy, and fundraising to this innovative board. I thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much for being here, and hello to Sonia
and Sophia and Giancarlo.
Sophia and Giancarlo in Lexington. I hope you are watching because I love Lexington. It's a great town for horses, bourbon, Mary Todd Lincoln's ancestors, and lots of other great things. And I'm sure your grandkids are not drinking bourbon while they're watching.
No, I hope not.
You never know these days.
It's happy hour in Kentucky right now.
They're 4 years old and 1 year old.
Definitely not.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for being willing to serve on the board of the Oregon Cultural Trust. Any questions? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Catherine Logan to the Employment Relations Board, if you'd like to come forward. Thank you for waiting so patiently, and please tell us a little about your background and why you'd like to serve on the Employment Relations Board.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and members of the committee. My name's Catherine Logan. I live here in Salem, and I'm before you, as you know, as the governor's appointee to the Employment Relations Board. I think I bring a unique perspective to this position because I've got not only labor and employment experience, I've collective bargaining agreements on behalf of the state of Oregon and the city of Salem. I've presented cases to arbitrators. I also have background as a neutral. I have worked as an arbitrator. I've worked as an administrative law judge at the PUC with Senator Beyer, and I've also worked as an ALJ prior to the Office of Administrative Hearings even being functioning on contract with various state agencies. Finally, I have a background of working at IRB as an ALJ for 4 years. I'm looking forward to the opportunity to be a board member, as I believe my experience makes me well suited for this position. I see the IRB as a vital part of the equation for harmonious labor management relations in this state of Oregon, and I want to assist the other board members and staff in regaining and retaining this important role. Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and members of the committee, for this opportunity to speak to you, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Great. Well, thank you for your willingness to serve. And any questions? Yes, Senator Beyer.
Just note that couldn't be a better appointee. Catherine has one heck of a legal mind and it's be a great addition.
Thank you, Senator Beyer.
Thank you for those comments. Thank you again.
Thank you.
And I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointments of Edward Armstrong and Morgan Ryder to the Environmental Quality Commission, if you'd like to come forward. And next, we will be hearing from Eric Doolin and Ken Carlson, and then after that from Lou Savage, so please be ready. Good afternoon. Thanks for waiting so patiently, and please tell us a little about your background and why you'd like to serve on the Environmental Quality Commission.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and other members of the committee. Just wanted to let you know how honored and excited that I am to be here and to have been nominated for a position on the Environmental Quality Commission. I've been interested in the environment as
as long as I can actually remember. As a kid growing up, I actually thought and told my parents I wanted to invent an alternative fuel back in the 70s with the fuel crisis. Quickly realized after one semester of chemical engineering this was actually not something I was interested and capable of doing, but did graduate with a degree in civil and environmental engineering. In my 20 years living here in Oregon, as one of the other nominees noted, my personal and professional passion actually intersect, and I feel quite lucky and blessed that I'm able to actually do in my professional career what I really believe in personally. In the 20 years I've worked here, I have done a variety of jobs, including collecting soil samples at Terminal before it was a Superfund site, monitoring the air quality back when River Place was being constructed, working on collecting soil samples in St. Helens. 1997, I was appointed the environmental manager for LSI Logic, which is a semiconductor company in Gresham. And at LSI, helped them to set up all of the permits, plans, programs, and actually worked with DEQ to establish the Green Permit Program. LSI was the first company to actually receive that, although I think the people from LP might argue they were first. But after LSI, I left and went to work with Nike and their factories worldwide on environmental management. Was working in China, Thailand, Portugal, and was able to see quite a lot of differences and issues that we're lucky we don't face here in Oregon. Past 10 years, I've been working for a consulting company wearing a little bit different hat. Helped counties across the state to develop emergency operation plans to address all hazards, and now currently working for a small strategic sustainability firm. Really relished the opportunity and challenge that working with the EQC will face on how we can best address the needs of the communities in Oregon, businesses, as well as protection of all of our natural resources. So thank you again, and really excited about this opportunity.
Thank you. And please go ahead.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum, Senators of the Committee. My name is Ed Armstrong, and I reside in Hebo, Oregon, on the Oregon coast. I appreciate your time this afternoon, and I want to acknowledge your service to our state in these challenging times. I'm in front of you today as a nominee for the Environmental Quality Commission. I have lived and worked in the state of Oregon for almost 60 years. Actually, the only time I've resided elsewhere was when I was a sergeant in the Marine Corps on the East Coast. My working career has been both in the public sector and in private business. My education includes both a degree in microbiology and education from Portland State University with graduate level courses from Concordia. I've worked on several state committees, worked with local and regional governments, and have represented two communities as a school board member. In my career, I've been a manager for a national water wastewater treatment company. It was my privilege in the late 70s and early 80s to work with cities along the Oregon coast to solve a number of their water and wastewater issues. In my school career, I've had the opportunity to work over time, specifically since the 90s, to provide over $47 million of funding to our schools in the state of Oregon as a grant writer. And I understand that doing the work that I've done over time, the involvement of local community and building relationships is really the service that we as Oregonians provide. In my work with students, I didn't just teach them out of books, but literally took them out into the community to show them how biology really worked in the community situation. We worked on a number of watershed issues, solving problems actually in cooperation with DEQ and other agencies. Why I'm seeking this position is because of my great love and passion for this state. And it gives me a great, since I'm, quote, retired, although I've picked up several other opportunities, including helping Rwanda develop an FFA program with a former colleague of mine that we're just starting on that adventure. So I'm about service, as you all are, and that I look forward to serving this wonderful state that I've lived in and served for 60 years. Thank you.
Great. Well, thank you both for being willing to serve on the EQC. Any questions? Senator Beyer.
Just a comment. These two appointees should make Mr. Ledger very happy. He's always talking about wanting people who understand permits. We happen to have two applicants who have incredibly good academic backgrounds, and they both have had to file the permits and the reports.
Yes.
Indeed. Oh, I promise to see if we can get Ed to do a little bit more fishing this time.
Actually, I was afraid it was going to be late. I went down to the sporting goods store this morning and looked at salmon rods.
Great.
That's a toss towards Senator Atkinson. He lives on one of the greatest steelhead rivers in Oregon, and he's a lake fisherman. It's okay.
Oh. Well, thank you both for being willing to serve. And we will close the public hearing, and I'll open a public hearing on the appointments of Eric Doolin and Ken Carlson to the Health Information Technology Oversight Council. If you'd like to come forward. And as I mentioned earlier, next will be Lou Savage, and then after Lou will be Angelo Turner, and after him will be Dr. Bennett Garner. Okay, please welcome to the Senate Rules Committee. Thank you for waiting so patiently, and please just tell us a little about your background and why you'd like to serve.
Certainly. Thank you. Thank you, Chairman Rosenbaum and the members of the committee. My name is Ken Carlson. I'm a pediatrician here in Salem, Oregon. I've been here for about 10 and a half years and also live here in Salem. During that whole time, my office has been on the an electronic health record, and I've worked throughout that time working to make that a better tool for my office. We certainly are in an unprecedented time of change within healthcare, and I'm very optimistic that technology is a tool that can help that along, but it needs the right guidance and the right voices. And I hope to bring a voice of a practicing primary care pediatrician from my 10 years of experience here in Salem. In addition, fall of 2010, I accepted a leadership role within the Oregon Pediatric Society, and so I also hope to liaison that group and bring that expertise to this committee as well. And with that, I'll pass and open to questions.
Great, thank you. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thanks you, Chairman Rosenbaum, and fellow senators for the opportunity to speak at this hearing. My name is Eric Doolin. I live in Corvallis, Oregon. I am the Chief Information Officer and Senior Vice President of Operations for Pacific Source Health Plans. We're an Oregon-based nonprofit health plan that provides service to our members in Medicare, commercial, and Medicaid populations. I really think there's a big opportunity to leverage information technology to help provide better health care to Oregonians, better care and lower cost care. I have participated on the Oregon Administrative Simplification Work Group that was created by the Oregon Health Authority as part of House Bill 2009 that identified a variety of administrative improvement opportunities within the healthcare system. I'm also the co-chair on the Oregon Health Leadership Council's Administrative Executive Committee that's implementing some of the simplifications identified by the state work group as well as some other opportunities. I've also had the opportunity to participate on the HITOC Finance Work Group that's been trying to identify some finance models to support the health information exchange efforts within the state of Oregon. And I think all that background really provides me with a good skill set to help out with on the HITOC Council. So I would be honored to be nominated to that council and seek your approval for that. Thanks for your time.
Great. Well, thank you both for being willing to serve. You both are obviously really busy professionally, and thanks for being able to take on one more task.
All right, thank you.
And I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Lou Savage to the Oregon Health Insurance Exchange Commission. Good afternoon. Thanks for being so patient.
Chair Rosenbaum, members of the committee, I'm Lou Savage. I'm the acting administrator for the Oregon Insurance Division and senior policy advisor for the Department of Consumer and Business Services. As you probably remember, when the legislature created the health exchange, you provided for several ex officio members to the board. One of those was the director of DCBS or their designee, and that would be me. The work between the exchange and the insurance division is actually very important. We're working on a number of issues now, including establishing the essential health benefits, the plans themselves that will be offered in the exchange, and ultimately we'll be working together on health insurance rate issues. Designation as an ex officio member of the board is very important. I've been the acting administrator since November, and I've been with the department for a little over 8 years, about 8.5 years, as a senior policy advisor. So be happy to answer any questions.
Great. Well, thank you. I think looks like we don't have any questions. I think we're pretty familiar with you and your work at GCBS, so thank you for being here. And I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Angelo Turner to the Oregon Medical Board. And thank you for waiting so patiently. You've been on the edge of your seat, so
thank you.
We're really glad to see you here. Please tell us a little bit about your background and why you'd like to serve on the Oregon Medical Board.
Absolutely. Chair Rosenbaum, distinguished senators, I wanted to introduce myself to you. My name is Angelo Turner, and for the past 23 years, my entire career, since high school, I have worked in the field of development, specifically healthcare development, for the past 18 years, starting with the American Cancer Society. My job is basically, in a nutshell, to work alongside physicians and nurses and hospital administrators. And one of the key challenges, as you all know, that hospitals face these days is budgetary constraints. And so my job is to work with these key leaders in our hospitals to identify grateful patients that have the capacity to make philanthropic contributions, and then to monetize that gratitude and obviously help the budget constraints in that way. If I am confirmed as a public member of the Oregon Medical Board, it would be my second time serving on a medical board. In 2001, I was appointed to one of two medical boards in the state of California, the Osteopathic Medical Board. I was the sole public member and served as the vice president for the 2 years I was on that board. It was an interesting opportunity. It's a lot of work and a lot of reading, but I do feel that this is a great way for me to give back and commit some public service to the people of Oregon. If confirmed, I would certainly take my role as a board member seriously and work very diligently to protect public safety. That's our first charge, by ensuring that licensed medical professionals adhere to the high standards that you've set for them. It would be an honor to serve the people of Oregon in this capacity, and I thank you for your time and consideration of my application today. I also would like to thank Governor Kitzhaber and his staff for giving me this opportunity to come before you. Thank you.
Great. Well, thank you for your willingness to serve and for your work also in trying to support things like the Cancer Society. Any questions? Okay, I don't see any. So thanks again for being here.
We'll
be acting on your appointment at the end of our hearing today, and I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Dr. Bennett Garner to the Psychiatric Security Review Board. Next, after we hear from him, we'll be hearing from John Thomas and Roni Wiswall, and then next will be Edwin Harnden. Good afternoon. Thanks for waiting so patiently. Please tell us a little bit about your background and why you'd like to serve on the PSRB.
Okay. Well, thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and members of the committee. And I think your patience and attention exceeds mine today. So I appreciate that and appreciate all that you do for Oregon. It's totally impressive the breadth of the issues that you guys deal with. My name is Bennett Garner, and I'm a board-certified child and adolescent, as well as adult psychiatrist, and I live and practice in Astoria. I also am the psychiatric consultant for Washington County Mental Health, which is the MHO for Washington County. Since I've been in Oregon, I've practiced in inpatient settings, residential settings, community mental health, private practice, OYA, and have worked with sexual offenders. And prior to coming to Oregon, I also should mention that I have a master's in health administration from the Medical College of Virginia. And prior to coming to Oregon, I was the vice president and medical director of behavioral health at St. John's Regional Health System, which was a large 400 physician practice that had an HMO with 60,000 members. And my job there was to be the hospital administrator, run the outpatient services, and do liaison with their HMO. And in that capacity, we reduced our inpatient census significantly through developing other options to treatment and also reduce the number of days per thousand of inpatient care. One of my interest in this is I've always had an interest in working with high needs, the high needs population, and doing what I could do to move people into the community safely. And it's an honor to be asked to serve on this board. And thank you for your attention. And if you have any questions, be glad to answer them.
Thank you. Any questions for Dr. Garner? Okay, thank you very much. Thanks for your willingness to take on a challenging assignment.
Thank you.
I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointments of John Thomas and Roni Wiswall to the PERS Board. Good afternoon.
Yes,
thanks for being here. Please tell us a little bit about your respective backgrounds and why you'd like to serve on the Board of the Public Employee Retirement System.
My name is Roni Wiswall. I live in Burlingame neighborhood, Southwest Portland, with my husband Mike. We have five children. I've been an Oregon State income taxpayer for the last 34 consecutive years, and I've worked with defined benefit pension plans for the last 26 years. I work with four charitable boards in the Portland area, and I want to use my talent to help guarantee the benefits of the pensioners of the Oregon PERS system.
Thank you. Please go ahead.
Thank you. My name is John Thomas, and thank you, Senator Rosenbaum and Vice Chair Senator Feroli and fellow committee members. I grew up in Springfield, Oregon, was born in 1946. Incidentally, the same time PERS was developed for the state of Oregon employees. It's a little bit of trivia.
Does that show up on those birthday cards that you can buy for that year?
I've had 40 years in financial services, and in that capacity, I've worked with the employees looking at trying to get desirable outcomes relative to their retirement, worked with the employers in terms of plan design, value-added benefits, sustainability. Also served on several finance committees over the years, so I understand some of the fiduciary responsibilities, and PERS has a significant fiduciary responsibility to the residents of Oregon. I just think that if you have certain skill sets, you need to make contributions to the state, and I've tried to do that over the years. And I'm really honored to be considered to be a PERS appointee, and would hope that if there are any questions, you could go ahead and pose them accordingly.
Great. Well, thank you both for being willing to serve on this extremely important board and for being so patient today and being with us in person. Any questions? Okay, it looks like if we have questions, they are not going to appear today. So,
thank you,
Chair Rosenbaum.
Yes, okay. Thanks again. We'll be acting on your appointment at the end of the hearing today. I will close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Edwin Harnden to the Public Officials Compensation Commission. After we hear from him, we'll be hearing from Susan Ackerman and then Doug Wells. Good afternoon, and thank you for waiting so patiently. Please go ahead.
No problem. Chair Rosenbaum, Vice Chair Ferrioli, members of the committee, I'm Ed Harnden. I'm the managing partner of Baron Liebman, which is a management labor and employment law firm in Portland. I've practiced in the labor and employment specialty area for 40 years. I was going to try to preclude a question from Senator Atkinson by saying that 40 years is made up of billable hours, not actual pilot hours. I probably shouldn't go there. A good part of my work through those 40 years has been in the area of evaluating, advising on, and on occasion litigating compensation issues. So I've dealt with the experts in the area, both in Oregon Oregon, Washington, Idaho, and then nationally. I think perhaps more importantly for an appointment to either this committee or any committee is a diverse background and experience. I grew up in Philomath, which is down near Corvallis, worked in sawmills all the way through college, milk cows. That's why I live in Portland now, so I don't have to do at least the milking of the cows. But my practice has involved both employers and then dealing with unions, and I think a good part of that is building relationships with both sides to be able to get a solution, because you can't get there if you don't. And I believe that applies to compensation for this commission as well as other compensation areas. My practice does involve reviewing large amounts of data, trying to make sense of them, and then trying to use some common sense to figure out where you would go. I would say that it involves management leadership issues, executive compensation issues, and then budget issues, and whether it's a public entity that I represent or a private employer, it all has to fit into a budget complex before you can be successful. And I would say the last is my mission throughout my practice has been to make a difference. I consider serving on a commission such as this as a chance to make a difference, and whether it's with the Oregon Food Bank or the Portland Schools Foundation or the Campaign for Equal Justice or working with the court system, that's been my goal. And I think it takes a good amount of effort to make sure that those on the commission and lawyers act responsibly, have good accountability and professionalism. So that's where I come from. Thank you, and I really appreciate your consideration of my appointment.
Great. Well, thank you for being here and for being willing to serve. Any questions? Mm-hmm. I don't see any. Although I do think 40 years of billable hours would be an awful lot of billing.
In actuality, I'm only 20 then. So.
Thank you again.
You did accomplish that in 30 years.
I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the reappointment of Susan Ackerman to the Public Utility Commission. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee, and thank you very much for being here.
We'd thank love you, to Chair hear Rosenbaum. A little bit about Vice Chair Ferrioli, members of the committee. My name is Susan Ackerman. I am currently filling out the last 2 years of Senator Byers' term on the Oregon Public Utility Commission. Governor Kulongoski appointed me 2 years ago to fill that position, and now Governor Kitzhaber has appointed me for a 4-year term effective March 1. I moved to Oregon to go to school, liked it, and stayed. I had a 25-year career in energy in this state and in the region before coming to the PUC. I'm very happy to serve there. I think energy, affordable energy in particular, is very important to the economy of the state. And I care a great deal about the institution of the Oregon Public Utility Commission. So I would very much appreciate having your confirmation. Thank you.
Thank you for your work. Any questions?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Byers.
She's doing a lot better job than the prior occupant of the position.
Not true.
Thanks again. Thanks for continuing on. And I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Doug Wells to the Quality Education Commission. After that, we'll be considering appointees to the Respiratory Therapists Board and then the State Board of Licensed Social Workers. Good afternoon. Thanks for hanging in with us, and welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
Thank you.
Just tell us briefly about your background and why you'd like to serve on the Quality Education Commission.
Absolutely. My name is Doug Wells. I am a father of a middle school daughter, and I'm also the Chief Operating Officer and Chief Financial Officer of a large nonprofit, Oregon Ballet Theater, both which give me gray hair. So I'm excited to be here. I've been a public school advocate for more than a decade nationally as chair of the National Board of Parents for Public Schools, locally working with many different organizations and also on advisory boards such as the Citizen Advisory Board on the Portland Public Schools budget, the mayor and county chair of Portland's Education Advisory Board, and the Portland Public Schools superintendent. I am thrilled to be asked to do this. I am a firm believer that education is a community enterprise, And I will end by saying I had the opportunity last night to hear Jeffrey Canada speak in Portland, who was incredibly inspiring. And he said it well in that, in the end, failure should not be an option when it comes to educating our kids. Thank you.
Thank you. And I don't see any questions, so thank you very much for keeping it short, but this will be an extremely important assignment. So
thank you.
Thanks for taking it on. Thanks. And I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Joel Glass, Michael Lefour, and Nicholas Gaffney to the Respiratory Therapist and Polysomnographic Technologist Licensing Board.
Jenny wants to carry this one.
And good afternoon. I'm going to restrain myself from making any remarks about keeping people awake for a 2.5-hour hearing, but I think we're all eager to hear what you have to say and wide awake. So please go ahead.
Left to right.
Left to right. My name's
right
Mike.
To left,
yeah,
depending on your perspective.
My name's Mike Lefour. I'm a physician in Portland, and I'm seeking appointment to the Respiratory Therapy and Polysomnography Technician Licensing Board. It's a mouthful, I know. But my background is such that I grew up here in Salem, went to the University of Portland for college, OHSU, for medical school. And this was followed by residency in Seattle, followed by fellowship in Utah, and then back to Portland to work at the Oregon Clinic as a pulmonary critical care and sleep physician. My interest in this came about after Senate Bill 723 was passed last year for the creation of polysomnography technician licensure, and that board was then, included in the Respiratory Therapy Board. I've been a technical advisor to the subcommittee on making rules for that, for the polysomnography technicians, but I think with my background in pulmonary medicine and sleep medicine, as I'm boarded in both, I can give a unique perspective on the scope of practice for both those professions, as well as provide a kind of go-between, if you will, for patients and patient care and quality patient care. So that's where my interest is. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Chair Rosenbaum, Senators. I'm Joel Glass. I'm program manager for Pacific Sleep Program, also president of the Oregon Sleep Society. I've been in sleep since the early 90s, my 19th year in sleep, just like Rumpelstiltskin, I guess. Anyway, I've been involved in the creation as well as the passage of Senate Bill 723 as well, and look forward to implementing the legislative intent of that bill in regulation through the newly created board. And since it's been a very long day, I'll keep it short and keep it moved on to Nicholas.
Chair Rosenbaum and the rest of the senators, I would like to show my appreciation for being considered for the committee. My name is Nicholas Gaffney, and I do currently live in Albany, Benton County. I just moved here about a year ago when Samaritan Albany General Hospital moved me out here to help open up their new sleep lab, and also I'm the lead technician for the center. I did want to keep this short because I know it's a lot of people here, but I just want to, I've been in the sleep field for about 8 years, and it's something that's very passionate to me, and I look forward to trying to input as much help I can in the licensure board.
Great. Well, I'm sure we all have lots of questions we could ask you, but I just do want to ask you, because I think the connection obviously is the sleep apnea connection with the respiratory board, but I'm curious whether, as we're moving through healthcare transformation and all sorts of changes in what the ways in which specialties are being integrated, is this specialty one that is going to be able to sort of come forward and be able to be better integrated? Because it does seem like the statistics I've seen are that people who are in need of help with sleep-related disorders are very, very underserved in terms of just not being identified as having specifically a sleep-related problem. So I don't know if you've got any brief comments in response to that.
I can just mention on studies that have been done in the past, they're about 10 years old now, but looking at adults with, say, sleep apnea, that's the thing that probably I see most commonly of the sleep disorders in my clinic. And it's estimated that probably somewhere between 20 and 25% of those individuals have been identified, which leaves you with 75 to 80% that have not. And so part of what we do is not only manage patients and patients' care and do the testing and do the things required, but also education and getting that education out to individuals. I mean, for me in Portland, you know, I've got a fairly large catchment area. If you're down in Albany, it's a little bit smaller, but wider in scope, I guess. And so that's one of the challenges. That's one of the challenges that the Oregon Sleep Board is, or the Oregon Sleep Society is trying to address, and which can only help.
Thank you.
I think one other area you're going to see a large influx of patients is in the commercial industry, especially commercial drivers. On the way down here, as I was driving past a triple trailer wiggling in front of me, you know, all those drivers now have to report medical conditions to the DMV. So now that they're reporting those conditions, we might see a larger breadth of those folks being treated for disorders like sleep apnea, diabetes, and such, and that affects public policy.
Great.
No, I just want to say that, you know, this is still a new field, you know, considering for a medical field. So basically what we need to do is just get the knowledge out there, and that way we will be able to treat more patients so they can get diagnosed and then treated. So it's a lot of changes that are going to be happening.
Okay.
Thank
you.
Thank
you very much. And I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Donna Henderson to the State Board of Licensed Social Workers, if you'd like to come forward. And then our remaining two appointments will be Carol Chapman and Gary Hickman.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum.
Good afternoon.
Senators. My name is Donna Henderson, and I live and work in Monmouth, District 12, where I'm a clinical social worker in private practice and teach in the Graduate Rehabilitation Counseling Program at Western Oregon University. In the past couple of years, I've twice had the pleasure of being invited to deliver the opening invocation for the Senate proceedings by reading you all a poem, and I appreciate the opportunity to address you in another way today. I also very much appreciate Governor Kitzhaber's and your consideration of me as a candidate for a position on the Board of Licensed Social Workers. Given the potential impact that social work has on vulnerable populations and individuals, I consider the board's mission and efforts to protect consumers by ensuring that social workers hold themselves, that we hold ourselves, to the highest ethical standards to be of the utmost importance. And I believe that I can make a contribution to that effort by board service. I bring 30 years of professional social work practice, supervision, and teaching experience to my candidacy for this position, experience which includes both private sector and public sector social work in a wide variety of settings and with a wide variety of populations. I believe that the depth and breadth of my experience makes me especially qualified for board service. Thank you again for your consideration of my candidacy, and I'm happy also to respond to any questions you may have.
Great. Well, thank you very much for being with us. You certainly would have been welcome to speak in verse, but any questions? Okay. Thank you again for being here. And it looks like we had an oversight, and we've caught it, and that is that we have another appointee. And so Susan Brown. I'll close that public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Susan Brown to the Oregon Workforce Investment Board. We definitely didn't forget you.
We were getting a little concerned. We weren't sure.
We just brought you here to see how it works, and then we thought we'd bring you back in a few minutes.
It's been an experience. Thank you. Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and Senators. my name is Susan Brown. I'm from Gold Beach. I'm interested in the Workforce Investment Board. I've been a business person, business development, economic developer for close to 20 years now. And so I've been able to work with businesses who are working with employees, training employees, skilled employees, and we know how much we need them, especially on the South Coast. So that's basically my interest. I want to continue. I worked with the Workforce Investment Board through their regional board in Coos Bay, and I found their programs to be effective. We were able to use them many times for our businesses in Curry County, and so I want to be a part of that progress with our workforce.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for traveling such a distance. And as a legislative member of the Workforce Investment Board, I think you're really going to enjoy being part of this group. It's clearly on the cutting edge of a lot of the changes that are happening.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it. Thank you.
Any questions for Ms. Brown? Okay, thank you again.
Thank you.
And I'll close the public hearing. And the two remaining people we have are going to be joining us by phone. So first I'll open a public hearing on the appointment of Carol Chapman to the State Board of Massage Therapists, which I bet the members would feel like they could use massage right about now.
Just thinking about that.
We had sleep. And good afternoon. Is this Carol Chapman?
It is Carol Chapman. Good afternoon.
Hi, Carol. This is Diane Rosenbaum, and I'm the chair of the Senate Rules Committee. I'm sitting here with my colleagues on the Rules Committee, Vice Chair Senator Ted Ferrioli, Senator Lee Beyer, Senator Ginny Burdick, and Senator Jason Atkinson. And we have just opened a public hearing on your appointment to the Board of Massage Therapists. So if you'd like to tell us very briefly about your background and why you'd like to serve on this board, please go ahead.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum, Senators Beyer, Senator Burdick, Senator Ferrioli, and Senator Atkinson. I do appreciate the opportunity to address you and the opportunity to serve on this board. So I am interested in promoting massage therapy as a very powerful modality of health and wellness. It is, in fact, a very simple but at the same time very powerful in that it promotes so many of the body's systems, including blood flow, improves, reduces inflammation, improves muscle tightness, just to mention a few benefits. But what's also great about it is that it's something that should be a part of everybody's treatment, you know, whatever their condition. It's a powerful ally, for example, in the treatment of pain and stress. So currently, people see massage as like a luxury that they try to get one whenever they can. But if it becomes accessible and affordable, and it's given the place and the role that it really deserves, then we can actually improve healthcare and actually cut healthcare costs. So those are some of the ideas that I would like to explore and bring to the board and to address whatever is going on so that we can promote massage for what it is and to help people, the massage therapists themselves, on the other hand, to thrive in their practice.
Great. Well, thank you very much for sharing your thoughts and for being willing to serve on this board. Are there any questions? Okay. Well, thank you again, Carol. We'll be acting on your appointment at the end of our hearing today, so thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I look forward to serving the larger community.
Great. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Sure. Bye-bye.
And I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Gary Hickman to the Oregon State Board of Nursing. Hi, is this Gary Hickman?
Yes, it is.
Hi, this is Diane Rosenbaum. I'm the chair of the Senate Rules Committee. We're sitting here in the state capitol with my colleagues on the Rules Committee, Vice Chair Senator Ted Farrioli, Senator Lee Beyer, Senator Ginny Burdick, and Senator Jason Atkinson. And you are our very last appointee at the end of a pretty long hearing, but we are eagerly awaiting hearing just very briefly about your background and why you'd like to serve on the Oregon State Board of Nursing. So please
go
ahead.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and Senators. My name is Gary Hickman, and I'm from Bend. I'm honored to be considered for this appointment to the State Board of Nursing. I've been a registered nurse for approximately 23 years and represented nurses and nursing issues over that time period. I've always volunteered to do this as a way to repay a profession that's been very rewarding to me and promote the health and welfare of patients. I feel my experience at this point in my career can be useful to the profession and to the public and to the State Board of Nursing. I'm going to keep it very brief since I know you've been in a long session here, and I would be very happy to answer any questions you may have. I thank you very much for your consideration for this appointment.
Thank you for joining us and for being willing to serve on this important board. Are there any questions? Okay, it doesn't look like we have any questions for you, so thanks again, and we'll be acting on your appointment shortly. Have a good day.
You too. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Okay, I will close that public hearing. Members, that completes our hearing from the appointees, and we do have one person signed up for public testimony, and that's Jim James. Is Jim James still in the room?
Mm-hmm.
Looks like he had to go. So we do not have any public testimony. So at this point, okay, so we'll be in recess. Members, just briefly, if you could please stay close by. We'll be coming back on the record shortly. And committee is in recess. Thank you, members. Committee will come back to order. Thank you for waiting while we cleared up a few matters. So we are going to proceed into work sessions now, and I will begin by opening a work session and moving the appointment of Cindy Williams to the State Board of Forestry to the Senate floor with the recommendation that she be confirmed. It is the chair's motion. Is there any discussion on the motion?
I will be a no.
Okay. So any further discussion? Mike, could you please call the roll on the I'll close the – no. Mike, could you please call the roll?
Senator Atkinson?
Yes.
Senator Beyer?
Yes.
Senator Burdick?
Yes.
Vice Chair Ferrioli?
No.
Chair Rosenbaum?
Aye. And the motion carries. And Senator Beyer, would you be willing to carry this on the floor?
Sure.
Great. And I'll close the work session. Open a work session, and the chair will move the appointment of Tom Insko to the State Board of Forestry to the Senate floor with a recommendation that he be confirmed. Is there any discussion on the motion? Any objection to the motion? Motion carries. Senator Beyer, would you carry this on the floor?
Yes.
And we are still in a work session, and the chair moves the appointment of Nils Christofferson to the State Board of Forestry to the Senate floor with the recommendation that he be confirmed. Is there any discussion on the motion? Any objection to the motion? Motion carries. And Senator Beyer, would you carry this on the floor? Great. And I will close that work session. And I'm opening a work session, and the chair will move the following appointments and reappointments to the following boards and commissions to the Senate floor with a recommendation that they be confirmed en bloc. Patrick Garrett to the Alcohol and Drug Policy Commission, Dory Davis, Steve Turgeson, Philip Johnson, James Bomberger, and Bradley Armbrust to the Appraiser Certification and Licensure Board, Pinka Sutherland to the Commission on Asian and Pacific Islander Affairs, Paul Hudgens to the State Board of Aviation, Ann Goldine to the State Board of Chiropractic Examiners, Patrick Allen as Director of the Department of Consumer and Business Services, Colette Peters as Director of the Department of Corrections, Daryl Larson, John Mark Eddy, and Lee Ayers-Proboski to the Oregon Criminal Justice Commission, Lee Weinstein and Carol Morse to the Trust for Cultural Development Board, Catherine Logan to the Employment Relations Board, Morgan Ryder and Edward Armstrong to the Environmental Quality Commission, Eric Doolin and Kenneth Carlson to the Health Information Technology Oversight Council, Lou Savage to the Oregon Health Insurance Exchange Corporation, Dr. Carla McKelvey to the Oregon Health Policy Board, Sherman Lamb to the Land Conservation and Development Commission, Sam Hall and Raymond Miao to the Trustees of the State Library, Kim Duncan and Tom Markgraf to the Oregon Board of Maritime Pilots, Carol Chapman to the State Board of Massage Therapists, Linda Kennedy and Gerald Sherman to the Mechanical Board, Angelo Turner to the Oregon Medical Board, Gary Hickman to the Oregon State Board of Nursing, Sasha Buchert, Matthew Kirby, Paige Clarkson, and Silas Halloran-Steiner to the Oregon State Hospital Advisory Board, Charmaine Roberts, Jenna Morrison, Eric Johnson, Susanna Alba, and Dr. Bennett Garner to the Psychiatric Security Review Board, John Thomas and Ronnie Wiswall to the Public Employee Retirement Board, Edwin Harnden to the Public Officials Compensation Commission, Diana Simpson, Larry Blanton, and Lisa Settle to the Board of Public Safety Standards and Training, Susan Ackerman to the Public Utility Board, Doug Wells, Mary Elise Russell, Gail Rasmussen, and Beth Garrow to the Quality Education Commission, Christopher Dudley to the Oregon Racing Commission, Joel Glass, Nicholas Gaffney, and Dr. Michael Lefford to the Respiratory Therapist and Polysomnographic Technologist Licensing Board.
Wow. Good job, Diane.
Thank you. Donna Henderson to the State Board of Licensed Social Workers, Dorothy Hudson to the State Board of Tax Practitioners, Leah Bates, Judith Presending, Olga Cobb, Mark Gerard, and Heidi Seip to the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission, Bruce Warner and Travis Stovall to the TriMet Board, Judge Jeannie Birch to the Commission for Women, Paul Goldberg, Alana Guinea, Carol Duncan, and David Anderson to the Workers' Compensation Management Labor Advisory Board, Susan Brown to the State Workforce Investment Board, and that is our motion that these be confirmed and send them to the Senate floor en bloc. Is there any discussion on the motion? Yes, Senator Farioli.
Madam Chair, just as required by Oregon State ethics requirements, I will announce a potential conflict of interest since I have a family member who works for the same police agency as a person I would be voting on in this motion. As a matter of fact, she is his employer.
Thank you, Senator Farioli. Your conflict is noted for the record. Is there any further discussion? Any objection to the motion? Hearing none, it is so ordered. And the chair closes the work session. We do need a carrier on this en bloc motion. And do I have a volunteer?
I'll do it.
Senator Atkinson will carry the motion. Thank you very much, Senator Atkinson. Thank you, members, for your patience.
Announced
politics. And with nothing further to come before us, we are adjourned. All right.